Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to an exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and alongside me is producer extraordinaire Alex Gossett Shiflett.
Hello.
All right, good morning and good Monday
morning.
To you.
It is a good morning Monday.
Yes, and we're excited for today's guest. Before we get started, let's remind you to connect with us on social media at Business Radio X on Twitter, and you can follow the program as well, Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And check us out on Facebook as well. We'll be posting up some thoughts and pictures of today's in-studio guest, and you're welcome to interact with us there. All right, now let's introduce today's guest. His name is Peter Vexelman, and he is here to talk today about a lot of different things, but first and foremost, how he's changing the world of real estate. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And so talk to us a little bit about your background. Where are you from and bring us up to speed?
Sure. I've been in the industry for about 15 years. I originally came from Ohio, grew up in Akron. My claim to fame is went to school 2 minutes from LeBron James. That's kind of what
okay.
I don't know if that's how he introduces himself. But then I went to Miami University and didn't do too well.
Yeah,
wasn't even able to get a job afterwards. Mm. You know, I was literally you always hear to people who finish the top of their class. I literally finished at the bottom of my class.
Yeah.
And lived in Cincinnati for a little while. I did some things myself and, you know, always kind of been in businesses because of my lack of being able to do good in school. And about 15 years ago, I was in a franchising industry, got out of that, sold my 15 franchises and got into real estate. And here I am 15 years later doing, I think, pretty well and doing a lot of good things.
Well, what brought you to Atlanta then?
It was my wife.
Okay.
You know, it was one of those.
So you followed a girl.
Yeah. You know, that was an easy argument.
Right.
She, it was either her move to Cincinnati or me move to Atlanta. That, you know, I always tell people, you don't have to shovel sunshine.
So that's right.
Yeah. It worked out great.
Right. And here you are.
Here I am.
And Atlanta is a vibrant economy, a booming city, lots of businesses, a great place for an entrepreneur like you to kind of make his mark in the world. And that's what you did. But when did you first realize Atlanta was going to be a good fit for you and then kind of take that real estate path?
Well, like I said, I got out of I started a franchising business many years ago with a buddy of mine. It's when the EBT cards came out, and that's when the people were switching food stamps from conventional food stamps to a credit card. And he and I chased that industry into 15 different states as the states were going live with these new credit card terminals. Every C-store needed one, and that's what we did. We did well with it, got to the point we had 100 employees, and even though I was the owner, I didn't own anything at that point. I had a board to report to and all that. So I never was really a corporate guy, so I got out of that. And, and one day I was sitting across the table, really from my father-in-law, and he said, "You ever heard of mobile homes?" And I said, "Never heard of mobile homes, but I am trying to figure out what to do next in my life." He said, "Read this book." Gave me a book called Deals on Wheels by Lonnie Scruggs. I read the book. I thought it was the most fascinating thing I ever heard. And I've actually Googled Lonnie's phone number. I called him. He was in Virginia back then. And I said, "Lonnie, I know nothing about mobile homes. I read your book. It's unbelievable." He said, "Well, come on down. I got a seminar coming up this weekend." And I did. And we came back the next Tuesday. I bought my first mobile home. And 3 years after that, we had the largest brokerage ship here of mobile homes in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
And then literally overnight, the financing fell out for mobile homes. You know, we were buying them and flipping them and getting them financed for our users. And all the players just within like 3 months got out. You know, MHFC, Greenpoint, Greentree, Bank of America, they all got out of the industry. So we couldn't get the financing for our buyers back then. So we got into the next logical thing, you know, mobile homes. So you get into real estate. And I thought, since I was killing it in mobile homes, I thought I knew everything about real estate and got into it. And 6 months later, lost everything I had. I mean, literally made every single mistake, lost $500,000+, just wasn't making the right decisions. But, you know, always felt confident the business was the right business, just I wasn't doing the right things. And then kind of righted the ship. And 3 years after that, became the largest investor in the Southeast U.S. And here we are today.
3 years after that, investor in mobile homes?
No, in real estate
overall.
Yeah, it was in real estate overall. That's right.
So you went from mobile homes into traditional real estate, residential properties, getting them fixed up, getting them sold, and then making some money there. What was it about this market overall? Reading that book, what was like the one thing that you thought, man, I got to get involved with this?
Well, I don't even know if it was the market, although let's face it, we're in the South. You know, there's a lot of mobile homes around here. And especially back then, you know, 15 plus years ago, there's not a common place now. The zoning isn't really working in their favor. But back then, mobile homes were huge, mm-hmm. especially in the West Side, like of Atlanta and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't really the area. It was just fascinating how people were working these transactions.
Yeah.
And I knew we could do a lot of volume. We came up with a unique niche. You know, I always feel if you get in the business, although it could be a business so many people are in, you've got to be able to carve out a niche.
Right.
And we did carve out a niche, whereas a lot of traditional mobile home people, the way they make their money, and you see them even now, you know, they set up mobile home lots and people see them all over the place. What we decided to do, we're going to park our mobile homes. We're going to just leave them in the exact same spot we were buying them from. We left them inside parks, which means we didn't have to warehouse inventory. We didn't need a space. We didn't have to follow those kind of rules that those other people did. So we just bought them in a park and flipped them in a park.
Yeah.
So it sounds kind of common, but back then nobody was almost doing it.
Yeah.
And we got to the point we were flipping almost 800 a month.
That's great. I mean, all over the Atlanta area?
All over Atlanta area.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, so. And this could have been done in other markets as well, not just Atlanta, all over the South. But yeah, you were really just focused in Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was done all over the place. I mean, it's still, mobile homes are still an industry unto itself. Nowhere near where it used to be, again, because of the financing, because it's been pretty much bought up and by some big conglomerates that have come in and all that. But yeah, mobile homes I always tell people it's a great place to start if you want to get in real estate. It's a lot smaller, a lot less forgiving, you know, a lot less cash intensive and stuff like that.
Are you dealing with foreclosures? Are you dealing with just as traditional buying opportunities, or how are you actually acquiring some of these properties?
No, are we at real estate now, or are we still at mobile homes?
Well, let's talk about mobile homes.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Mobile homes. No, we're buying them from owners. We were actually, you know, the penny savers, the thrifty nickel papers, mm-hmm. they're all over the US. Mm-hmm. We were their largest advertisers here in Georgia. We would run almost 200 ads a week with them.
So you're buying it from private individuals.
We're buying from private individuals.
Fixing them up, selling to another private individual.
That's all we did.
That's great.
That's exactly what we did.
And then you said you either got tired of it or you saw some other opportunities elsewhere. Yep. Then what led you into the traditional home flipping?
Well, like I said, when it was time to move on, and one of the biggest reasons it was time to move on, like I said, the financing kind of fell out of that industry.
Right, so there was no longer that opportunity there.
There's exactly right. Not the model we were running. So, you know, mobile homes, real estate, we thought it was the same thing. You know, it kind of seems the same, feels the same, and it was not the same. And that's why, I mean, 6 months into it, I was literally $500,000 down, made all the wrong mistakes.
So there's more costs associated with that, investments up front in getting these properties rehabilitated?
Yeah, well, just totally different decision-making processes. Mm-hmm. How you look at them, how you evaluate them, how you determine what's a good deal to a bad deal, what kind of contractors to use, what kind of contractors not to use, who to sell to, who to sell through, what kind of pricing.
Yeah, I mean, to think about.
100% of the things that we thought we knew, we did not know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you would think that it would be similar. You're buying one piece of property and a residential and another same deal, but there's a lot of different layers to that deal you need to think about. And so it took you time to kind of understand it better. Yep. But then eventually you started, getting your feet underneath you and started buying more properties and then going down that road.
Yep, absolutely. Things, you know, I always understood the industry worked. I just didn't understand how to correctly implement the things
to do.
How to make money, how to make decisions. But right at the ship, you know, got around some successful people, figure out the kind of model I needed to use. And, again, we came up with one of the first turnkey models here in Georgia, where we were able to buy real estate, sell real estate as investors and to investors. We were providing financing to our investors. We were providing construction to our investors. If they were holding on to them and renting them, we were able to provide property management. So we had a really, really cool model we ran with for many, many years.
And can you tell a little bit more about that? I mean, you've had a new business model that we'll share with our listeners here in just a moment. But how does that differ from what you were doing then?
Well, back then I was strictly focused on the investor side. You know, right now, as we'll get into in a minute, I'm also, you know, combine the real estate side with the investment side, with the retail side, traditional brokerage. Back then, I was strictly focused on the investor side.
Okay.
I was doing what every traditional investor does. I was trying to buy low. I was trying to sell high. I was trying to buy low, rent a little bit higher. You know, I was doing, and again, what traditional investors do, I was just doing it at a very, very high level. Mm-hmm. We had an absolute acquisition machine in terms of bringing properties in, had an acquisition machine in terms of selling properties. You know, that's one thing I believe in. From whatever business angle you take, you have to learn how to scale and you have to learn how to systematize things. Until you learn how to do those two things, you're just a one person show. You're trading time for money and all that. So we had systems going in place. We have, you know, procedures in place. We had a really, really slick business.
Are these systems and scaling are things you should think about before you actually go to market, or are things that you should cultivate after you've been in business for a little while?
Well, let's face it. We all like to think that we all know what needs to be done before we go to market. But the reality is it's sometimes as good as the paper it's written on. You know, so you conceptually want to anticipate. But the reality is most of us small business owners know you have to be quick on your feet. Yeah. You have to be able to make decisions. You have to be able to recognize opportunities. Mm-hmm. And along the way, you know, looking at my career, pretty much everything I've done, we've built as we've gone.
Yeah.
You know, we had some great plans, but along the way, we built the models and developed the systems as we went along.
Yeah, adjust accordingly along the way. Be flexible in your forethought there, because you don't just stay cemented in those original, you know, beliefs and goals, because they will change. Yep. And you just got to listen to your market, your customers, your clients, all along the way, and be willing to change. And that would apply, as I guess, in an entrepreneurial kind of overall, no matter if you're starting a new tech company or a real estate investment or whatever you're starting as a business. That's a pretty good advice.
No question about it.
Right.
No question about
it. And so what's the state of affairs here in Atlanta now with the rental housing market, the buying and selling of rental homes, or purchasing and selling property? Where do we stand today?
Well, there's a lot of competition. Atlanta's one of those marquee markets. You know, there's some really flashy markets across the United States. There's the Manhattans, the Miamis, the Beverly Hills. Those are the markets everybody knows about. And they, you know, they hold values just because they are where they are, you know, short of the crash that happened several years back. Mm-hmm. But Atlanta is one of those markets that's not quite one of those marquee markets.
Why not? We should be.
Yeah. We should be. We're in a national city,
right?
But we're just not as known as those other cities are.
Right.
You know, we're just not. But having said that, it is amazing how many investors get attracted to Atlanta. You know, and I have business, you know, I do business in 12 different states in terms of buying and selling real estate. I have partners all over the United States. I've invested all over the United States. I could tell you Atlanta is probably one of the hottest, but at the same time, most competitive markets out there, out here. I mean, people here, both locally, regionally, nationally, internationally, are trying to do deals here. So it's a marquee place without people knowing it's a marquee place.
It's a vibrant economy. It's a thriving business and a business market, but the competition is strong out there. So you better be, hold true into your values and your business plan if you want to do business here in Atlanta. Any advice you would give to a young startup out there who wants to get into the real estate industry? What are some good first actionable steps they should take?
Sure. Well, number one, figure out what you want to do in real estate. You know, people say real estate, but the reality is it's a big business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like saying I want to be an athlete. You know, there's 50,000 different things.
What sport do you want to play?
Exactly.
Right. Good point.
Well, same in real estate. Now, if I'm just getting started, I'm probably going to get started in those kind of transactions or kind of deals which are very money unintensive, the least intensive financially, you know, strategies, techniques, and all that. For instance, a wholesaling strategy, where you could take, you know, control of real estate without really putting your own money out. You know, it's one of the quickest ways to make money. It's the most forgiving strategy out there and all that. But figure out what you want to do. Again, my personal advice is start out with some kind of a wholesaling model and start developing the things that need to make it successful. You need buyers on that side. You need sellers on that side. You need inventory on that side.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about for sure. And you've got a new strategy that you're working there. A new business model is the trifecta business model. And that's what you're implementing today, not only for your business, but you're teaching others to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable what's happened. But, you know, For years, I ran with two sides of this model. I ran with a traditional real estate investment company, which is what we've been talking about here right now. Mm-hmm. And I also work with just traditional real estate agents. And I've kind of piecemealed working with both of them for years, try to figure out how to capitalize on both of them and done somewhat well. But really, it's not until last year to year and a half where we've actually merged both of the models. And our business has absolutely exploded. My investment business, as a result of merging it, has literally tripled, which is huge. I was already the biggest guy around in Georgia. And my retail side has taken off. You know, just on the retail side with our agents, we picked up over 200 listings in the last couple of months, which is unheard of in this industry. And so the way we do things now is this. You know, we provide value both at the let's say, broker or real estate head side that no one else is able to provide. Plus, we also provide value to the consumer that consumers never see. Hmm. So the way our model works is this now. Number one, we start out with marketing. We're proficient marketers. It's not uncommon in my Atlanta office to get as many as 500 sellers a day calling us, looking to sell their properties to us. So then we take our sellers through experience that they see nowhere else. So for instance, if you think if you're just a traditional real estate seller, and you know, if you own real estate, and if you ever sold it, you understand a seller in the United States only has two options. Option number one is they could talk to a real estate agent. And you know, every real estate agent in the United States is going to give them the same pitch. I'm the biggest, I'm the baddest, I'm the greatest.
I'll get it sold as quick as you can.
I'll sell it quick. My broker's amazing. My company's unbelievable. The other option is for consumers to go real estate investor. And if you go down the investor side, it's okay, hey, let me get your property 50 cents and a dollar and let's high five all the way down the road.
Right. Get it out of your portfolio and move on.
Exactly. So you know, but what we do is we basically take consumers through experience they see nowhere else. We take a consultative approach. We tell our sellers there's options with us. For instance, Mr. Seller, there's an ability for us to come in and literally buy your property on the spot. Cash buy, quick. There's an ability to do this, this, and this. All the way, Mr. Seller, we have the ability to actually sell your property traditional way.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want to bring one of our consultative, one of our traditional real estate agents, licensed agents out to your house, and they could better determine what is best for you.
And you and your family situation, you know, whether you're moving, getting relocated for work, or you're just moving across town, downsizing, upsizing, there could be a lot of different reasons why people are moving.
Yep.
And so then your consultant will sit down with that family and make sure that whatever next action is the best for them and their situation.
There you go. And it's something consumers are not exposed to anywhere in the United States. So when they're calling us and they're hearing us, our people talk to them on the phone, we're putting them through experience they never heard of, they never seen. So our people on the phone are building relationships, establishing rapport, giving them options. And then literally we're sending our real estate agents to these houses. And right there in a spot, the agent determines, hey, is this an opportunity for a quick cash sale for us to buy as an investment company? Or if not, then it's very easy to move that person into a traditional
selling
traditional selling route.
Yeah.
And this consultative approach, I mean, has absolutely exploded our business.
Right, because I would think as from a consumer perspective, when I'm looking to sell my house, I don't want to feel just like another number on an agent's docket. I don't want to feel like they're not listening to me and my concerns. And no matter what the outcome may be of my sale, I want to know that that agent or whoever I'm working with, in your case, a consultant, because it can provide a wide array of possibilities for that property.
There's no question. I mean, this consultative approach, using real estate agents as a way to present cash offers, and then if not, flip it to the listing side. Again, it's just taking things by storm. I mean, literally my traditional investment property, investment business tripled in size. You know, I'm buying three times more properties than I ever have because we have live people sitting with people across kitchen tables in their living rooms talking about their real life situations. And so they're opening up to us more and they're presenting opportunities that they would otherwise not present over the phone. And, you know, and at that same time that rapport is built, it's very easy then if the cash offer doesn't work out to flip that person to a traditional.
You have options.
You have options.
Right.
Yeah. And consumers are just absolutely loving it. So now, like I said, we're just exploding with this model across the United States with local partners.
Yeah. The consumer these days is more educated. They want more options. They want to know what all their, you know, possibilities are before they make their final decisions. We're talking with Peter Vexelman. He's with RVP LLC. He also provides coaching and other things we'll get to in just a moment. But Alex, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. I live out in Cumming, and I've only been there for a year. And since I've been there, there have been so many new subdivisions coming up. Yep. I mean, they just can't build the houses fast enough. Why do you think that is?
Well, guess what? I live in Cumming, too.
Okay.
So and it is amazing from the time we moved there. From the time we moved there to what is happening now, it is absolutely exploding. So, look, it's all about supply and demand. I mean, people are looking for areas like that. They have incredible schools. They have incredible opportunities there. Commissioners are paving the doors also for these developers. And, yeah, I mean, there's just growth going out, growth going everywhere. Couple things are happening across the United States. Number one, banks are opening their money supplies up again. Whereas just a little while ago, a couple years ago, when everything crashed, it was impossible to get mortgages anywhere. Now banks are lending again. And again, Atlanta's a thriving area and people are somewhat gravitating towards the suburbs. You know, Cumming's got incredible school areas. You know, we have a lake house also a couple exits away. You're a couple exits away from great entertainment at the lake house. So it's like everything is converging onto there to create that perfect storm where just the demand is huge.
Yeah, my kids started high school last year, ninth grade. They just finished. And there's over 3,000 high school students at South Forsyth High School.
My daughter goes there.
Yeah, so, I mean, with all these new houses, do you see overcrowding becoming a problem in the future?
Well, so we just talked about all the great stuff. Here's the bad thing. The infrastructure is not keeping up. You know, the roads are not keeping up. I mean, literally, I was running to get to this interview, and from where my office is on Bethelview Road, which is like a mile away from 400, that mile took me longer to drive than it was to get from exit 13 to your guys' office. So the infrastructure is not keeping pace. And, you know, they're not only, let's face it, they're not only building houses, they are also expanding the roads there and all this. But usually that's the thing that lacks, you know, a couple years in the rears, you know, you get the infrastructure. That's why we bought another property up north on the lake. Good time to get away.
Right, but people are putting up with a longer commute, a little more traffic time to get that peace and quiet or that community that they want to be in, and that's kind of what speaks to what Cumming has going for itself.
Absolutely. It's a trade-off. And let's face it, you know, 3,000 kids in the school, like I said, one of my oldest daughter goes there. But guess what? It's still good schools.
It's a great school.
It's a great school. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's kind of and you've seen their parking lot, right? There's construction going on there right now.
And they're expanding for next year.
They're expanding
beyond.
For next year. Right. You know, you can't even park there anymore. Right. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, another good kind of topic along those lines we hear a lot in the studios about millennials and how the real estate market's changing because of them. They're choosing to move closer into town and having more mass transit options and maybe a smaller space to deal less with the commutes and such. So from your perspective, when it comes to real estate investing, are there some things that people can do to particularly invest in you know, towards the millennial side?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I live in Cumming, which is, you know, 40 minutes north of here. And I bought over 3,000 properties here in the Georgia market. 95% of them are right in town.
Inside the perimeter.
Inside the perimeter, because that is no question where the action is.
Okay.
That's where people want to move into. You know, that's where people like myself want to move away from.
Right.
But the generation there you're speaking of, they want to move in there. Mm-hmm. They're willing to sacrifice a little bit. And guess what? They're willing to pay a little bit more to be there.
They're not that into the suburbs either, are they?
Mm-mm. No, they're not. They're willing to pay a little bit more. There's a demand there. Look at the industry that's moving in. You know, we got a couple of big corporations moving into Atlanta right now.
Yeah, Mercedes moving right in here to Sandy Springs.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I went to Destin for a day yesterday for a couple of days, just a vacation. And then we, you know, got back in. It was amazing how many people were there with Mercedes-Benz signs picking people up. Mercedes-Benz.
At the airport.
Wow.
I mean, it was just like 40 people there. Mercedes somehow tied into Mercedes-Benz.
So I guess they're having a big event or something going on. So everybody's traveling here. And so, but yeah, Atlanta's thriving as a community, as a culture, as a business. Opportunities are abundant here for everyone who wants to get involved. And then you also offer from your some coaching services. Who do you usually provide these coaching opportunities for?
Sure. Investors all over the United States that are looking to get into the real estate industry. They can go to my website, www.coachingbypeter.com. And I work with investors. I work with investors, who are just getting started. They know they want to be in this business. They know nothing about the business. So we spent a whole year with him where I actually work with him personally. I spent a whole year with him and get him from knowing nothing to being very successful investors. I also work with investors that are successful, investors that bought hundreds of properties, but for some reason they may have hit a wall or they don't know what to do next or to know where the next opportunity is. And then, you know, I take those investors to a much higher level. Ultimately, the goal is to get people to set up a business the way mine set up. You know, consistently now I'm closing 5-10 deals a week. I'm doing it week in and week out, years upon years, consistency. And the uniqueness of all of that, you know, aside from obvious financial side, is it only takes me about 20 minutes a day to do everything. So again, going back to what we were talking about before, I'm a huge systems guy, a huge automation guy. I'm a lifestyle guy. So the goal is they work with me for a year is to take them through, you know, the different facets of the real estate industry, but most importantly, end up where it's not only a financially viable business, but also a very, very lifestyle-focused business.
Yeah, that work-life balance that everyone's always searching for. Everybody wants more life than less work, of course, but you got to have the money there. So, but I think that's one of the big hurdles, I think, for a lot of people getting into the real estate market is the capital investment. We all think we can do it. I think every one of us at some point says, you know, I could buy a property and I could fix it up and I could sell it, but I don't have the resources, the capital. Yep. Are there some ways that people can get access to capital or find lending just to get started in the business?
Yeah, no question. But going back to what you said, you know, in terms of everybody, here's the best thing about real estate. Anybody can get into it. Here's the worst thing about real estate. Anybody can get into it. And I mean, it's got very, very little barriers to entry. Sometimes capital is not an issue, you know, either A, because you have capital, or B, you're using techniques and strategies that don't require capital. But at the same time, make no mistake about it. Real estate is a very unforgiving business. I mean, this is the kind of industry you could sneeze the wrong way and lose $20,000.
Overnight, you're right.
Yeah, overnight. So, you know, unfortunately, real estate is littered with people that have just very, it has success stories, no question about it, but it's littered with people that get in the end don't want anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why several years back I got into coaching, mm-hmm. because there are legitimate ways of getting this business. There are legitimate techniques and strategies that whether you have, you know, $1,000 to your name or $100,000 or $1 million to your name, there are techniques and strategies that fall into that, to those financial things. You know, there's also different techniques and strategies allotted by how much time you have. You know, some people get in this business, they have full-time jobs. They mm-hmm. can't commit 40 hours a week. Right. Well, there's things you could do in this business that if you can commit 4 hours a week, you can become successful. Geography, depending on where you live, you have to learn how to make adjustments for that. So there's different things that, you know, real estate is not one of those, you know, it's not like being a doctor where, yeah. you know, if you're operating on someone's arm, it don't matter where you are, how you do it, you got to know it's the same thing all over the place. You know, real estate, you have to take financial situations into account, time allotment, where you live, you know, what your goals are, what your objectives are, mm-hmm. what you have going for you, what you may not have going for you. And so the one thing I always encourage people to do is make sure you get around some successful people in this industry, because there's been enough paths, you know, laid in front of people that there are absolutely the right ways of doing things.
Yeah, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. No. It's already been invented. Just find someone else yep. who does it. Maybe you can find the Vexelman theory is the best theory and the best way to go for yourself. You know, coachingbypeter.com for more information about getting involved. And maybe real estate is for you or not for you, but you got to find some trustworthy people to have that conversation with. Like you said, there's some unscrupulous people out there maybe teaching you not so good practices. And certainly you don't know who to turn to or who to trust because the market is so saturated.
There's no question. I mean, you know, we're here sitting in Atlanta. You know, years back, Atlanta was the number one capital in the world for fraud. I mean, when it came to real estate. So you're right. Because it has so very little barriers to entry, it's very easy for people to get sucked in into doing the wrong things, the wrong techniques, the wrong strategies, the wrong implementation, the wrong people and all this. Mm-hmm. So, you got to not only know what you're doing, but you got to surround yourself with the people that know what they're doing.
All right. And so what keeps you motivated now? You've reached a certain level of success. You've gotten to a place pretty comfortable, and mm-hmm. but you still seem passionate and want to do more. What motivates you?
Well, it goes back to what we talked about a couple of minutes ago, this new trifecta model of bringing the traditional real estate investment company with the traditional real estate brokerage. We're now partnering with successful. This is you have to be successful. This is not a coaching, but if you're already successful, whether you're a real estate investor or real estate agent, or you have a semblance of both, and you're in different parts of the country, we're partnering with those individuals across the country, and we're basically building this model together with them. We're actually, you know, we market for them right out of our Atlanta offices. We write market into their cities. We take all the inbound seller calls. We qualify these sellers. We tee up appointments for these individuals to go out and send real estate agents to these people's houses. And then we coach them how to develop this model. You know, we coach them through how to correctly present these types of this type of a listing presentation to the sellers. We coach them how to correctly recruit agents for this. We coach them how to correctly build teams around them. And we're just having tremendous amount of success. So what keeps me going now is just I truly, fully believe that this model of investment company in the retail world is going to sweep the country by storm. And we have people flying in from all over the country into our offices here in Atlanta, learning how we do things. And again, they partner up with us. It's not a cheap way to partnership. You know, they're putting a lot of money up for marketing and all this. But for those people that really grasp the value of this model of running those two businesses together, I mean, it's awesome.
So you're just enjoying sharing the knowledge,
love it.
Sharing the opportunities with others. Hopefully
yep.
every, you know, small community, large community across this country can begin to adopt this methodology and see their real estate
yep.
Investments really blossom as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Great.
It's
Right. And so what do you like to do in your off time? As you're not changing the world of real estate, what keeps you kind of grounded to continue to do such good work?
Well, you know, I love doing different things. Like Friday, I wanted to, you know, I want to take 24 hours off or some couple day or two. So I got in the jet, you know, and we flew down to Destin for a day. It's cool being able to pull up. You know, you don't have to waste when you fly around like
that. Did you say a jet?
Yeah,
that's right.
Got in the jet, and you don't have to. You know, when you fly in a jet, you don't have to wait around for TSA or anything like that.
Right.
The pilot comes out, grabs your bags himself. So I flew down to Destin for a day.
Yep.
Hung out there. Came back here last night, and you know, we got a lake house about 20 minutes away from our main house, up and coming. Got three kids. We got a boat right there, and so you know, even today, I'll finish talking to you guys. I'll go back to the office because I got a couple meetings to handle.
Yeah.
And then my wife and I will probably go do dinner in the lake, grab our kids, whichever one wants to go, and do that. So, you know, our kids are incredible athletes, all of them in different facets. Our daughters cheers for one of the top teams in the country in terms of cheerleading. Our boys play, you know, sports year round, fantastic baseball players and whatever the season is. So I love spending time with my dad out in the ball fields and across the state of Georgia and sometimes in different states. So we love doing family things. You know, I'm passionate about my business, as you could tell, but I'm passionate about what we got going on behind, you know, closed doors and our families and spending time together, you know, providing things to our kids that maybe they can't find in any other places. We kind of call ourselves the neighborhood household. Everyone's always welcome in our house. And my wife and I feel that's better that the kids hang out in our house so we see who they're hanging out with.
Right.
So you're the fun house where all the kids want to come to your house.
I don't know if we're the fun house because we definitely have rules, and my wife's good about that. But I think we're a pretty cool house. We're a welcoming house. Even yesterday, 10 o'clock at night, one of my sons, he was at a pool and calls. And next thing you know, by 10:30, we have seven boys at our house, additional to our two boys. So,
yeah.
But we don't
Sunday
mind
night,
that.
Right.
But we love it. We love it. I mean, we've been fortunate in how we've done things and what we've been, you know, provided for us. So we're trying to give it back as much as possible. We got in our office, we got a couple of great causes. Like, for instance, there's a great organization out there. And it's designed for young kids. And it's called One Life, and it's really designed to take some, whether it's an underprivileged or a younger kid that maybe doesn't have the opportunities that they do. And so I was fortunate enough to fly out and speak at their national convention this couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia. And their entrepreneur of the year was this young lady from Mexico who came across, who came to the United States. And she became an entrepreneur of the year. She's just doing amazing things with how she's bringing people together. It's tied in around clothing, believe it or not, exchanging older clothing for new clothing. So we're actually flying her here for a week.
Aww.
And she's going to put this incredible clothing drive on, you know, with us for her thing. And I mean, it's not just like a clothing drive. She was entrepreneur of the year in this huge organization. So we're big followers of that. My CEO, Julie Hicks, is passionate about. She's got another organization where we take people from like different universities and we take them through a whole day. You know, a lot of times they kind of understand what they want to do, but they don't have hands-on experience. So we take them through a whole day of, let's say if they want to be in real estate, what can you do? Well, here's a mortgage broker and here's what he does. And here's a real estate agent. And here's a real estate investor and all this. So the point there is not only expose them to real life, what happens in the careers, but potentially pave the paths for them by introducing them to the right people. You know, in my office here, you know, we got three interns working here in my office in Jacksonville. We got a number of them. So, you know, we're just not about making money and doing fun things. There's some big causes we believe in and hopefully make an impact.
Good. And it sounds like you are for sure. You're not an overnight success. You've been many years in the making to get this level and expect many more years of great things to happen from you. But what is on the horizon? What's next? More coaching opportunities, again, growing the business around the country. Any big events you're going to be at this summer?
Yeah, well, you know, I hate to keep going back to the same thing, but it's just this trifecta model, expanding it. You know,
we've got to get the word out more.
Yeah, we got to get the word out more. You know, hopefully give me a chance to let your audience know how to contact us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're looking for successful people across the country. Again, this is not for new beginners. This is not for people getting started, but these are people who already have a real estate brokerage in place or have a real estate investment in place, or maybe have two, and then we'll figure out how to work with them together. It's not cheap to become one of our partners. I want to tell you that up front. But man, we're just killing it. We're killing it with partners. So we're looking for more partners. I mean, I really feel it's like a cause. Mm-hmm. You know, some people look at it, well, it's real estate. What can you, what's a cause? You know, I feel that this model of working these two sides of the business together will absolutely sweep throughout the United States. And I think in the next 4 to 5 years, this is how real estate industry is going to be looked at. Consumers are going to expect options. They're going to expect value beyond just a traditional, let me list your house or let me buy your house.
And it's like a concierge service for your real estate there. You can get you what you need catered and customized to your desired outcomes for sure. So so great. Ladies and gentlemen, there you heard it. You can find Peter Vexaman out on the lake with his kids or traveling to cities to speak.
On his jet.
Yeah, on the jet as well. But if you need him right away, you can go to coachingbypeter.com to learn more about his coaching opportunities or services there. What if they want to learn more about how to get involved?
If they want to get more involved in the trifecta side, you know, if you're looking from a strictly coaching perspective, you're an investor that looks to get in the business, yes, go to coachingbypeter.com. Yep. It'll tell you more about what I do in the coaching side. But if you're looking at more of a higher end, this hybrid model of trifecta, the way we're doing it now is I want you to actually text me directly. Okay. And in the text, I want you to put the word trifecta and just tell me a little bit about your current business model. And my cell phone number is 404-915-9685.
9685. Text the word trifecta directly to the man himself, Peter Vexaman, if you are interested in learning more, and he can ask you questions and then guide you on to where you can go find out more information about getting involved. So we'll have that posted up later on our website, atlantabusinessradio.com, and you can connect with Peter and his team directly through our website as well. So thank you so much, Peter, for joining us here today. Enjoy your afternoon on the lake, and please come back and be a guest soon. We'd love to learn more about and go into more detail about the trifecta business model. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
All right. And thank you, Alex, once again. Look forward to seeing you back here on the radio in just another hour or two. We got another show coming up, Veterans Connect Radio, so stay tuned for that. If you're out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, and would like to be featured on Atlanta Business Radio, send us an email on the contact page at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, and on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.